can't leave you behind.
You must.
Goodbye, Herr Westheim.
For now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Maxime.
Bye, Papa. Goodbye. Please come soon. Come soon.
I shall. I promise. I promise.
Please, please.
Darling.
Please.
Darling. He's gone.
We present Robin Ellis as Maximilian West in Barbara Taylor Bradford's The Women in His Life.
Well, come on, this won't do. Close the window, Teddy.
Yes, yes. There.
That's better. Now we must find our seats.
Moochie, what's the matter?
Nothing, Martian. Something in my eye. Excuse me.
Mitty!
I can't be sure now if I really do remember that journey, or only what Teddy told me about it later. It was 1938. I was 4 years old. They told me we were going on holiday. I think I do remember it. The train, packed with people. Were all of them like us? Leaving Berlin, leaving their homes, with forged papers and all they could carry? There were strict laws about what could be taken out of Germany. Something I definitely didn't know then was that my mother was carrying a fortune in diamonds sewn into the lining of her clothes. I also didn't know what the Nazis would have done to her if they'd found them. I know now.
There you are.
Where were you, Mitty?
Maxine.
I had to powder my nose, darling.
Why
are you out here, Teddy? Can't you find our seats?
No, I found them. The second compartment along.
What is it? What's wrong?
In the seats opposite ours, there are two men. One of them's a German soldier. SS. A colonel, I think.
And the other?
I'm not sure, but I think he's Gestapo.
Oh, my God. We have to go in. We can't just stand here. Do you remember what my husband told us, Teddy?
We mustn't do a single thing to draw attention to ourselves. Whatever happens, we mustn't be noticed.
Right. So we'll just walk in and take our seats and keep ourselves to ourselves. And everything will be fine. Yes?
If you say so. Yes. Yes.
Good. Come on. Let's go and sit down.
The two men opposite us were middle-aged, with faces that might have been cut from cold steel. I remember Teddy giving me a picture book to keep me quiet. I suppose it must have worked.
Aachen, this is Aachen. Please take all your belongings and leave the train. Aachen,
Frau Westheim, what's happened?
Nothing has happened. This is the border.
Oh. Oh, I see. Thank you, sir. Colonel.
We have to go through customs.
Of course. Thank you.
Come on, Maxim. Time to get off.
Stay close to me, Maxim.
You see those men? More Gestapo.
Yes. There's the man from our train.
Don't look at him.
Right.
Can you see the other one? The colonel?
I don't think so. No.
Thank heavens for that.
When he spoke to me.
Oh, I know. Me too. But it was all right, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was.
This will be harder.
Next.
Good afternoon, Constable.
Put your cases on the table and open them, please.
Certainly.
Just the three?
One for each of us, yes.
Uh-huh. And what is the purpose of your journey to France?
We're going on holiday, aren't we, Maxim?
We're going to see the Eiffel Tower.
And when do you plan to return to Berlin?
In several weeks. 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. You taking any valuables out of Germany?
No. No, no, I'm not. We are not. Thank God. It was easier than I thought it was going to be.
Can we get back on board now?
Yes. And then we'll be over the border. We're free.
One moment, please.
Colonel? What do you want?
A word with you, Frau Westheim.
You know my name?
Frau Ursula Westheim. Fräulein Theodora Stein. And the boy is called Maximilian.
Please, we must get on the train.
We've been through customs and immigration.
Please, please let me pass.
Over here. No, just Frau Westheim.
Wait there, Teddy. You too, Mäuschen.
Mäuschen.
It's all right, Max.
Now, what is this all about, Colonel?
Don't be alarmed.
What?
My name is Oster. Colonel Hans Oster of the Abwehr. I'm a friend of Kurt's.
Kurt von Wittingen?
Your husband's contact, yes. The man who obtained for you those so excellent papers.
I thought you were going to...
Kurt asked me to keep an eye on you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I have to leave the train here, but in a short while you will be in Belgium. And then within the hour you will be in France. Good luck to you. Heil Hitler!
Heil Hitler!
Frau Westheim, is everything all right?
Yes. Yes, it is. Come on. Let's go to Paris. Yes, I am. I said everything is fine. The journey was uneventful.
Are you comfortably settled in?
Yes. The manager remembered you. We're in our old suite.
Familiar surroundings. That's good. Now you must relax and have a pleasant holiday.
Yes. Is everything all right with you, Ziggy?
Things are just the same as they were yesterday when you left. Give Maxime my love and say hello to Teddy.
I will.
Then goodbye for now.
Goodbye, Ziggy. Take care. Come in, Teddy.
Maxime's asleep.
Herr Westheim says hello.
You got through at last.
Yes, but the line was terrible.
How is everything there?
He couldn't really say. You just don't know who's listening. Oh, Teddy, I wanted to tell him so much about the journey and Colonel Oster and the Gestapo man and everything.
You'll be able to tell him in person very soon.
Oh, God, I do hope so. I'm sorry. Look at me.
You're exhausted. We both are. Maxim's got the right idea. We should get some sleep.
Yes. Teddy, you do believe it's going to be all right, don't you? Ziggy will get more visas and we can all be together again. You do believe that?
Yes, Frau Westheim. I believe that with all my heart.
Well, Maxim, I promised you we'd see the Eiffel Tower, didn't I?
We're so high up.
Yes. Your papa and I came here once. Look at that view.
What do you think of it, Maxim?
Maxim?
It's lovely.
Paris. I had a wonderful time in Paris. If it's possible to fall in love at that age, then I fell in love with that city. I remember so vividly how relaxed everything was. And how happy Mutti and Teddy seemed. How simple life can be when you're 4 years old.
Look, Maxim, you can see the whole of Paris.
When you see to Berlin, can you see where Papa is?
No, No, darling, you can't.
But you can see our hotel. Look down there.
Oh, yes.
And you see that big house over there? The white one with the flags?
Yes.
That's where I'm going this afternoon. To get our next lot of visas. Like tickets, Maxim. For the next part of our holiday.
Where are we going next, Mutty?
To England, Moishin. We're going to England.
Oh, when?
When your papa and Gangang Westheim get here.
Soon?
Soon. Hello?
Ursie?
Siggy! What a wonderful surprise! I thought you weren't going to call until Sunday.
How are you? The three of you.
We're fine. Siggy, I can hardly hear you. How are you? Is everything all right? Ziggy?
Ursula, listen.
Ziggy, what's wrong? Ziggy!
Come in. Oh, Frau Westheim, I was just coming to see you. I've had a letter from Willy Herzog.
Is he well?
It's better than that. He's safe. He's out.
Teddy, I'm so pleased. Where is he?
In Tel Aviv. He wrote to my Aunt Katie in London, and she sent the letter here. Oh, he's safe.
It's wonderful. To hear of anyone getting away from the Nazis is so heartening.
Frau Westheim, are you all right?
May I sit down, Teddy?
Please.
Thank you. Teddy, I have to ask you something. May I?
Of course.
Your aunt in London?
Aunt Katie?
Yes. Her house, is it large?
Fairly large. I think most of the houses are where she lives, Hampstead.
Herr Westheim and I planned to buy a house in London, and we always hoped that you would live with us and look after Maxim.
Just like I did in Berlin, yes, I know. Frau Westheim, are you saying that things have changed?
Not changed, no. But I think they might be delayed.
Delayed? Why? How long?
Do you think your aunt would let you and Maxim stay with her for a few weeks?
I'm sure she would.
Good. I'd like to send the two of you to London ahead of me. I'll follow you later this month.
I see. Why aren't you coming with us, Frau Westheim?
I just heard from Siggy, Herr Westheim. His mother has had a stroke.
Oh, no.
She can't be moved.
But Herr Westheim was going to bring her to Paris. So you're going to wait here for them, is that it?
No, that's not it. I'm going back to Berlin.
You can't. You know what it's like there. You can't.
Yes, I can. I must. Herr Westheim needs me. I just know he needs me. He needs my help. You've read the news. There's going to be a war. It's inevitable. Nothing on earth can stop it now. I'll not leave my husband and his mother at the very center of things to cope on their own.
But, Maxim...
Don't try to talk me out of it, Teddy. I must act now. While there's still time.
Maxim needs you, Frau Westheim.
Maxim has you. He knows you. He trusts you. He loves you. And it will only be for a few weeks, you'll see. This is the right thing to do, Teddy. The wisest thing to do. Don't you agree?
Yes, Frau Westheim.
Good. Very good. Thank you. I'll make arrangements for money and so on. And I'll give you a letter to the manager of our bank in London. I'll not have your aunt supporting the two of you. And there will be other things to see to before you can go. But I want it to happen as soon as possible. Teddy?
Yes?
If something should happen and we don't make it to London...
Don't say that.
Hush, Teddy. If something should happen... You will look after Maxim for me, won't you? For as long as it's necessary. You will look after him.
You know I will.
Yes, I know it. God bless you, Teddy.
Moistren.
I don't want to go without you. I don't.
I know you don't, but I want you to be safe. And I'll be with you very soon. And then we'll all be together again.
Truly?
Really and truly. Now, come here. Oh, let me wipe those eyes. There. That's better. My little love. No more tears, eh?
You won't lose me, will you, Matilda?
What? How could I lose you? Whatever makes you ask that?
The story. The story about Hans. Teddy told it to me once.
His mother lost him.
And she never found him again. Not ever. Not ever. I don't want to be a lost boy, Mutti. Don't lose me.
Please?
Never, darling. Never, never, never.
Promise?
Promise?
Promise. Solemn promise.
It was like leaving Berlin all over again. Except that when I waved goodbye to Papa from the train, he didn't have tears in his eyes. I remember watching Mutti getting smaller and smaller in the smoke and the steam and the distance. Smaller and smaller. Until she disappeared entirely.
This morning, the British ambassador in Berlin handed the German government a final note stating that unless we heard from them by 11 o'clock, that they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state of war would exist between us. I have to tell you now that no such undertaking has been received. And that consequently, this country is at war with Germany.
Doodlebugs again, Teddy.
Thank you, Maxine, but that's one thing I don't need to be told. Get a move on the three of you, please. Aunt Ketty!
We are right behind you.
Let me help you, Mrs. Berners. These steps are slippery.
Thank you, Alan.
Did you put the new candles in the shelter, Maxine?
And fresh kerosene in the lamp.
Good boy. Where's the flashlight?
Here.
Thank you. Good. Now, come on, everyone inside. That's it. All right, Aunt.
Now, stop fussing, Theodora.
Alan.
Come on, Stubby.
Stop fussing, Duke.
No chatter, come on. Everybody in?
Yes, yes.
Right. Light the lamps, please, Maxim.
Yes, Teddy.
Aunt Ketty's air raid shelter. I remember it as being fairly big, but I don't suppose it was. Aunt Ketty and Teddy kept it stocked up with tinned food and Ovaltine and powdered eggs, and there was a whole shelf of Tizer bottles filled with water. The outside was covered in sandbags piled up over the corrugated iron. It looked like a dugout in the trenches on the front lines. Exciting stuff when you're 10 years old.
Have a look at this, Stubby.
What is it?
I've got a new jigsaw puzzle.
Bang on.
St. George and the Dragon. Looks jolly difficult.
Not for you, brain box. Well, come on, let's get started.
Alan Trenton. Stubby. My best friend. He was staying with us for a few days in the school holidays. As soon as we got to England, Teddy and her aunt started teaching me English, and apparently I picked it up with no problems at all. When I was 5, I went to the little elementary school near the house in Belsize Park.
The child is quite clever.
Quite clever. Yes, I know.
Ahead of his age. The school is not enough for him.
Aunt?
You are also quite clever. You will teach him yourself at weekends.
And so she did. History, geography, and mathematics, my favourite subject, even back then.
The boy shows promise with his numbers.
Yes.
His next school must be the best, Colette Court. I have sent for the admission papers.
Thank you, Aunt.
At 8 years old, an entrance examination is a daunting thing. I must have done quite well.
Well, young man, your marks are quite Your marks are very good. Well done, Maximilian.
Thank you, Mrs. Berners.
You may call me Aunt Ketty.
I loved that school, and I loved England. Time flew by. There was only one thing wrong with my life.
And God bless my mother and father and my gang Vestheim, and keep them safe and deliver them from evil, wherever they are.
We'd had no word from them in all the 5 years we've been in England. No word at all.
There. I told you it was a bit of his lance. What have you got there?
Sky.
Sky's impossible. Let's have a look.
I hope we're not in for a long night of it again.
You never know with these flying bombs. The mad Austrian secret weapon.
Did you hear what Mr. Churchill said on the wireless? There haven't been this many civilian deaths since the Blitz. I hate those bombs. They terrify me. How about a cup of tea?
Wait! Shh! Oh my God! The house! David, the house!
No, it would have been 10 times louder.
Duke's right, Mrs. Berners.
I think it fell a few streets away.
There'll be a huge crater. There always is.
Poor souls. Poor, poor souls.
What are you making?
Sausages, chips and beans.
Ah, Maximilian's favourite.
Yes. And look at these.
Oh, eggs. Real eggs.
Mr. Giles at the butcher's shop kept them for me. He had to slip them into my bag in secret.
Oh, fresh eggs. Whoever would have thought that a few eggs would be such a treat?
Not only eggs.
Oh, indeed. Milk and sugar and meat and fruit. You know, sometimes I wonder if I'll ever eat an orange or a grapefruit again.
Aunt, of course you will. Mm. Oh, that's a lovely song. Aunt?
You really like this country, don't you, Theodora?
Oh, yes. But surely you do too, Aunt.
Oh, of course. I couldn't imagine living anywhere else, not now.
No, nor could I. You know, I don't think I realised that until this very moment. I don't want to live anywhere else but England. It's really true.
And how do you suppose your fiancé will feel about death?
Billy? Oh, he still wants to go to America. His letters are full of the place.
And does he still want you to go with him?
Yes, he does. Perhaps I can make him change his mind. Convince him how safe I feel here. How wonderful this country is.
Perhaps you can. If you really want to.
Oh, look at him. He's completely at home here. Oh, God, Aunt Ketty, how on earth am I ever going to raise him properly?
Whatever makes you ask such a question?
I can't help asking it. He's so clever. His teachers keep telling me he's a brilliant student. One of them used the word genius. Sometimes I think he knows more than I do.
All children know too much about too many things these days.
Perhaps. But Maxim really is unique. So who am I to bring him up?
Theodora, have you had bad news from Germany about the boy's parents? Is this what you're trying to tell me?
No, I haven't had any news, good or bad.
Then why have you given up hope for them?
I haven't. I haven't, truly. Aunt Ketty, how could they possibly still be alive? Berlin's been totally destroyed.
The raids on London have been just as bad. We are still alive.
Then they must surely have been arrested and taken to one of those camps.
If what you've told me about the Vestheims is true...
Oh, yes, every word.
Then they don't strike me as the sort of people to just give up trying wherever they might be.
But if they are gone, then Max seems my responsibility. I made a solemn promise. And besides, even if they are all right, I still want to be near him. I want to be able to visit him at school and university and...
And so you can't possibly go to America and become Mrs. Billy Herzog?
No. No, I can't.
The boy means more to you than your fiancé.
I don't know if I still love Billy. I'm not even sure if I ever did. But he's still waiting for me. He's still...
Theodora, you are not the same girl you were then.
No.
Perhaps Willy Herzog is not the same boy.
What do you mean?
Perhaps you're reading things he didn't write. Perhaps you shouldn't feel so bad that this wedding might not happen.
Do you really think so? Willy may feel differently now.
5 years is a long time. I'm an old woman. What do I know?
Aunt.
Please.
That's wonderful. It means I can devote myself to Maxime and not feel guilty about it. I can just concentrate on what's best for him.
Theodora.
Aunt?
One thing I do know. I know that it's possible to love someone too much. To love them so much that you lose all sight of your own life and your own future.
Love someone too much? Do you mean that's how Willy felt about me?
No, Theodora. That's not what I mean at all.
Teddy!
Lydia!
Oh, come in, quickly. That's better. I'm so glad you could make it.
I nearly didn't.
Now, what on earth could have kept you away? Oh, give me your coat and your hat.
Aunt Kettie had arranged me to go visiting.
Oh-ho.
Yes, to her friend Mrs. Levine's for supper. Of course, she didn't tell me.
And does this Mrs. Levine have a son?
Well, yes, two. They're both in the services. Why?
I'll bet you any money you like that one of them's home on leave, if not both.
Lydia, my aunt wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't be so sure. Come in and join the others.
I think you know everyone.
Not quite everyone.
Oh?
Here's Theodora at last.
Hello, Teddy.
Now, who is it you don't know?
The man at the piano.
Oh, that's Mark Lewis.
Oh, please, don't stop.
But I heard my name mentioned. Hello.
Hello.
In part two of Barbara Taylor Bradford's The Women in His Life, Maximilian West was played by Robin Ellis, Little Maxim by William Nichols Rose, and Young Maxim by Jonathan Kitchens. Ursula Vestheim, Susanna Corbett, Sigmund Vestheim, Joanne Meredith, Theodora, Emma Fielding, Aunt Kettie, Maria Charles, Lydia Pell, Colleen Prendergast, Mark Lewis, Christopher Scott, Colonel Oster, Dennis Hawthorne, Alan Trenton, Rory Jennings, the policeman, Keith Drinkle. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The pianist was Michael Haslam. The Women in His Life is dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Enid Williams.